We spoke a few times about the idea that you're not allowed to kill one to save one. This is being learned from the Gemara in Pesachim. The question that I want today to raise, what happens if you're killing one, but by that you're saving a lot of people? Would that be allowed or not? So our topic today, the last topic, is killing minority to save majority. Is this is being allowed or not allowed? Few cases to give an example. This question was asked a lot 20 years ago, 25 years ago, when Tzahal went into Lebanon. There was a building in Lebanon, and one night, what happened is that the rooms downstairs were very small, and the rooms upstairs were big. So they gave the captain to sleep up, and the regular soldiers to sleep down. In the middle of the night, and down they slept like 3-4 in a room, and up they slept one captain in every big room. In the middle of the night, the building collapsed, and it was... They bought walkie-talkie, they put into the stones, and in 25 minutes they made a diagram who is still alive. And they saw that down, there are a lot of people alive, and up, because up slept the captains, and they were minority, there were very few that were alive upstairs. According to statistics, the people under the stones can't live more than 12 hours. If we will start to take stone from the up, most of the soldiers will be killed. Three captains came to the big captain and to the prime minister and said that they require to bring in tractor to remove a third of the pile of the stones. In other words, to kill the captains, to kill the minority, in order that in 12 hours... they can save most of the soldiers. And the question is, if this is allowed or not allowed. Is the question clear to everyone? You have in the top of the document, you have a letter from the police. Let's see, please, from number 2. Hamaase shehaya, the story that was, binyan rav komot, a building with a lot of floors, collapsed. Hitmotet al esot rabot shel chayalei tzal. Rov ha-chayalim nimtzau bakomot ha-nemuchot. Most of the soldiers were in the bottom floors. Ikaron number 3. Ikaron ha-atzala, the principle to survive, doresh, demands fast activity because of that they're injured and the pressure that they have. The assumption is that they can live maximum 12 hours. Number 4, yesh sesavu, there are people that fought, it's not written here that it's the three captains, kaminat lehatzil et harabim shenilkedu bakomot ha-tachtonot, haya tzach lesalek et harisot shelemala. You should remove the pile on the top, v'alidei kach laharog et ha-nitzolim bakomot ha-elyonot. And by that, to survive and to kill the people on the upstairs in order to survive the downstairs. The question is if this is allowed or not allowed. Questions you wanted to ask?
What is the other solution besides taking stones from the top? How can you take the stones?
No, you have two ways. Or you take stones from the top, that's, and then in 12 hours you won't come to the middle, and all the soldiers in the middle will die. Option number 1. Option number 2, to bring a tractor to remove a third of the pile. Then these people will be dead. And then in 12 hours, you can start to take stones now from the pile, because you remove part of that, and you can survive the soldiers on the bottom.
Wouldn't the second option require actively killing the first third?
Yeah, and then it will require to active killing the minority.
If there's the other one, which is passively killing the other ones by saving people.
Right.
So one, your action is killing the other one and saving.
And therefore, but this is minority and this is majority. And that's exactly what we're asking. Should you kill the minority, kill actively the minority, in order to save the majority?
How sure is it that you're going to save more by killing the few?
Because according to statistic, if you will save them before 12 hours, they will be saved. And you know by walkie-talkie that they're alive. And therefore, the assumption of the work is, the assumption of the question is, that you can save the people in the battle. And it's clear. That's not the question. Certainly, the question is how much you will save. That they said you will save more than you will kill is out of question. That's clear to everyone. And the question is if it's allowed or not allowed. Because I didn't want you to know who it is. I didn't ask him permission, and because I didn't ask him permission, I don't think that it's fair that I will tell you without asking. If I would call him and ask him, then there is no problem. But I didn't do it, so therefore I took it away. Hara. Other cases that this question was asked. Very famous ghetto in Kobna. 32 Jews were hidden in a bunker. And a baby started to cry. And it was very, very clear. It was toward the end of the war. Everyone knew that if the Germans found you in a bunker, they killed each one of you. And they heard already the Germans on top. And it was very, very clear that if the baby continues to cry, all of them will be dead. The father tried to relax the baby, did not succeed, and the end of the story is that he choked him in order that all the people, including him, would be safe. Immediately when the war was over, he ran to the Rav of Kobna, Rabbi Efrati, and told him, I'm a Kohen. And the halacha is that a Kohen that was over Lo Tirzach is never allowed to go to the Duchen. But I saved 32 people. Is that cool that I was over Lo Tirzach? Well, here the Torah allows me, and therefore I can go to the Duchen. So the question was he right or wrong by choking his son? Anyone can see any difference between the two cases? Will the same halacha will be to the two cases, or will there be any difference between them? Zahar.
His own pilach nefesh?
What?
He could also die if the baby's...
Okay, so you're saying one difference is that here he will die, here not, but it does... It's not necessarily make a difference, but we have to check it. Mm-hmm. Anything else?
I don't know how much of a difference this makes, but... the child, although it's not able to really be conscious of what it's doing, it's still making the active effort, which is killing the others, while on the other hand, it's the other people's active effort, which would be...
I'm sorry, I didn't understand. Again, please.
The child is making some sort of active thing, but it's crying, it is killing the others, whereas here is there are other people who would be killing him in order... People are not necessarily killing the others by their own...
The question is if the baby will be called Rodef and therefore it will be allowed to kill him because he's doing some active, he's crying. The Mishnah in Ohalot, we spoke about, the Mishnah in Ohalot says that when a baby is being born and he's causing his mother to die, if already went out with his head over his body, you're not allowed to touch him, even if you know that the mother, that he's killing the mother. Ask the Gemara, why is not Rodef? He's killing the mother. Why is not Rodef? And the Gemara answered the words, Mishmaya Karadfele. According to most Rishonim, Rosh, Rashba, Ritva, except the Rambam, Mishmaya Karadfele means, in order to kill, in order to be considered a rodef, you have to have a kavana and a maise of murdering. I'm saying two things. If someone kills with a gun and wants to kill someone, he's called a rodef. But a baby that is being born, he doesn't want to kill his mother. doesn't have any intention to killing your mother. Only the circumstances are like that she will be killed. But he doesn't have any kavana. And any, it's not called the maise v'tzicha, because there is no kavana. We did one war in Egypt, near Egypt, in Sinai, Mount Desert Sinai. There was a case where Israeli airplane saw a line of tanks. He thought that they are Egyptians, and he started to shoot them one after the other. And the office of Tel Aviv saw it in the screen. And the question was if they are allowed to shoot the airplane. Here the answer would be yes, because the airplane will be called the Rodef. Because he has a kavana to kill the tanks, only he thinks that they are enemy. But he has a kavana to kill them, therefore he's called the Rodef, therefore you can kill him. And you should kill him, in order to save the others. But a baby that cries without having a kavana to kill people, he is not called the Rodef. And therefore he won't be allowed. Therefore, according to this Rishonim, like when a baby is being born and risking his mother, he's not called a Rodef. The same thing here, he won't be called a Rodef when he cries in the bunker. Therefore, that won't make any difference. And maybe, according to the Rambam, it will, but I'm not going now to the Rambam. But, maybe there will be a difference, and we have to check it, that the baby will be killed anyway. Or he will be killed by the father, or he will continue to cry, and when he will continue to cry, he will be killed by the germs. So you're only making his killing faster. While in the case of Tzor, if you are saving the captains, they will have Chaye Olam. So according to what we learned, that baby has Chaye Sha'a, because he will be dead anyway. And the captains, if they will be survived, they will have Chaye Olam. And maybe Chaye Olam, to kill Chaye Olam, to say majority, you're not allowed. But maybe to kill Chaye Sha'a, to say majority, you are allowed. So that's something that we have to check. But maybe there will be a difference between Chaye Olam and Chaye Isha. The Gemara in Pesachim says, okay, I'll give only a third question when this question was asked. And this is the case of the Twin Towers. When your friend, the President of America, saw in the screen that the first airplane is going into the Twin Towers, and then the second airplane came, the question is, if you are allowed to shoot the second airplane, not only the people in the airplane will die, and not the people in the building. So here you have exactly the same question like the baby. They're going to die anyway, but you are fastering their death in order to save the people in the building. And the question is, was it allowed or not allowed to kill the people in the airplane, in the Twin Towers, in order that only they will die and not the people in the building? So in three cases, we have the question of killing minority to save majority. The case of Lebanon, the case of the bunker in Kobna, and the case of the Twin Towers. Yeah.
In the case of the Twin Towers, a few questions. One, the president, people in general, they would generally not expect any other planes to hit, and they didn't necessarily have this plane on like radar that it's on its way to hit until it was probably over New York City, and by the time if they wanted to shoot it down, plane would land landing in New York City anyways and killing people.
I think that there was a third airplane that the people in the airplane took it down.
In Pennsylvania.
And that's exactly the question, if they were allowed to do it or not. That's exactly what happened. They decided that it's better that they will die faster instead of it will go into the building. And the question is if they were allowed doing what they did or not. So what we're asking is not the imagination, it's really what happened. And the question is, if the third airplane that went down, was it allowed or not allowed?
Also, their intentions on that plane, Flight 94, 96, 93, their intentions were to take the plane over from the terrorists and then to try to land the plane. Their intentions were, once they had no choice,
But it was very, very clear that the chance that they'll succeed doing it is very little, and there is a big chance that they'll die. And therefore the question is if they were allowed or not allowed.
Isn't that case slightly different from the fact that it's them themselves who are themselves, where it's not like it's someone else shooting them down. It's like it's there.
That doesn't make any difference. A fourth case, only one to give. People that will go to Poland, Rabbi Hender, will see a movie before they go into Treblinka. There is a movie called Escape from Sobibor. It's, you see this movie because it's very, very Sobibor is very similar to Treblinka. And you see in the movie that there were people that tried to escape. And they were found. Jews that tried to escape from the camp, they were found. And then they were brought in order that the Germans would shoot them. And they were calling all the Jews to see that they're killing them. But then came the captain and said, before I'm killing them, each one of you to choose two people to be killed with. And they didn't want to do it. So he said, if you're not choosing two, I'll choose four for you. So all, there were 10 people that were trying to escape. Or 30 will die, or 50 will die. And now the question is, are they allowed to choose or not allowed to choose? These are the four cases that I would like to discuss. Says the Gemara in Pesachim, Kata Ravin Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Bakol Mitrapin. This is the famous Gemara. Everything, there is a din of Pikuach Nefesh. Everything, you can take a medicine to survive if it's a question of life. Chutz Me'avoda Zara Gilui Arayot Ushfichu Damim. The only three cases that you have a din of Pikuach Nefesh, that you don't have a din of Pikuach Nefesh. And the Gemara tries to understand what is the sources, from where do you learn it, and so on. Says the Gemara, from where do you know Shfichud Damim? Why, if you can kill one, you're not allowed to save yourself? Says the Gemara, Svarahu. You don't learn it from a pasuk, you learn it from a logic. Now the Gemara gives a story. Someone ran to Rava and told him, Mare Durai, the mayor of the city, Amar li zil katle leplone, you should kill Ploni. Ve'ilo katlin alach, and if you won't kill Ploni, I will kill you. And he asked, can I kill Ploni in order that I will be killed? And Rava answered him, Liktulach ve'lo tiktol. You should be killed and you shouldn't kill. So he answered him, you're not allowed to kill him. And then he gave him an answer. Maichazi duma didach sumaktfei, dilma dama da hugarva sumaktfei. Translation, who said that you are better than him? Maybe he's better than you. So why should you live and he dead? And why should he be dead and you live? And because we don't know who is better, therefore you have to be passive. And don't do anything, and give them to kill you. So when we speak about one versus one, yeah, that's the whole shiur that we had on the first day about the brain death, and the idea that you can't kill the donator in order to survive, because you don't know who is better. And you're not allowed even to kill Chaye Sha'ah in order to save Chaye Olam. But now comes the question, what happened when you are killing minority to save majority? Do you still have that logic, or you don't have that logic? Because here, maybe I can understand that they are better because they are 50 versus 1. So do we have the svara of Maichazit, even when we speak about minority or majority, or don't we have the svara of Maichazit when we speak about minority versus majority? The main source that we are going to learn is the Yerushalmi in Tumot. The story is that Sheva ben Bukhri was Mored Bamalchut. He said that David HaMelech is not a Melech, and he spoke against David HaMelech. And then David HaMelech sent Yoav to kill him. Sheva ben Bichri went to a town and hidden in the town. And the soldiers of David HaMelech didn't know where he is hidden. So they surrounded the city and they wanted to kill the whole city in order to be sure that he is dead. Came to them an old woman and said, "Why do you want to kill the city? Because you want Sheva ben Bichri? I know where is Sheva ben Bichri. I will kill him and I will throw the hat to you and you go away." And they said, "Okay, we agree." And she went, killed Sheva ben Bichri, gave his head, and they left. And now comes the question, why she was allowed to do it. Look, it's the same idea. She killed minority in order to save majority. So the question is, was she allowed to do it because she was allowed to kill minority in order to save majority, and therefore she was allowed doing it? And I should learn from here that every killing minority to save majority would be allowed. Or was she allowed to do it because he was Moreh B'Malchut? And because Moreh B'Malchut Chayav Mita, anyway he had the status of a died person because he's Chayav Mita. And that's the reason why it was allowed. But then every case when it's not Moreh B'Malchut, I shouldn't learn that way. Third option, why she was allowed to do it, because anyway he will die. Or he will die by her, or will destroy the whole city, and he will die anyway. So I'm giving three options why it was allowed. Or it was allowed because he will die anyway, or it was allowed because he was Moreh B'Malchut, or it was allowed because always you are allowed to kill minority to save majority. And the question to this the answer to this question, why this woman was allowed to kill him, will influence all the four cases that we spoke. Questions, and we continue.
You also have that maybe everybody's better than him because he's a Russian.
So he's Moreh B'Malchut.
Yeah, so okay. That he's Chayav Mita, that he's a bad person.
Okay, so now we know the Ma'ichazit. Okay.
Why isn't he a Rodev in this case?
What?
Why isn't he a Rodev in this case?
Why is he?
Why isn't he a Rodev in this case?
Why he's not a Rodev?
Yeah.
Because he doesn't have any aim to kill the people. Because of him, other people want to kill everyone. But he doesn't have an aim to kill the other people. So he's certainly not a Rodev. Now let's see Birushalmi in Trumot. Tani. And this Birushalmi is very, very important. Be sure to know it very, to understand it very good. Siot bnei Adam. Shehayu mehalchin baderich. Groups of people that went on the way in the desert. Came to them goyim and said, "Tnu lanu echad mikem v'naharog oto." You should choose one. And we should kill one. And if you don't choose one, ve'im lav, harei anu horgim kulchem. And if you don't choose one, we are going to kill all of you. Now, they didn't specify which one they want. They said, you should choose one, no matter which one it is, but we want one to kill. Says the Yerushalmi, Afilu kulam neheragim, lo yimseru nefesh achat miYisrael. You are not allowed to choose which one will die, even if the price is that 60 people will die, 100 people will die. Explain the Kesef Mishneh. When you don't, when they don't specify one, and you have to choose which one it is, and you can choose which one you want. You can choose Reuven, Shimon, Levi, Yuda, X, Y, Z. Then it comes to be really one versus one. Because even if you want to give the minority, The question is if it will be X, or it will be W, it will be Z, it will be I, it will be H. Therefore, it comes to be 1 versus 1. In 1 versus 1, we know that my chazi dama didach sumaktfei, dilma dama daugava sumaktfei, and therefore you can't do it. Therefore, when you have an unfixed minority, you are not allowed. So already I answered the question, what will be according in the case of Sovivor? Because there they have to choose which one will die with them. Therefore, there it's unfixed minority. They can choose which one they want. Because in it's unfixed minority, therefore, it's not allowed. So in the case of Sobibor, the answer will be they are not allowed to choose. I don't have time now to discuss if one can volunteer. But to choose, they're not allowed. If one can volunteer, we have to go to another sugya. We don't have time.
So why exactly can't one choose?
Because it's unfixed. They can choose with anyone they want.
I'm saying, why can't one person choose?
What?
Why can't? What's the issue of choosing one person?
Because then you come back to the question of one versus one. Let's say you want, you understand it's one, but why do you choose Reuben? Why not Shimon? And Shimon will say, why me and not Levi? And Levi will say, why me and not Yehuda? So you really come back to the question of my chazit.
So can you flip a coin?
What?
Can you do it randomly, like flip a coin?
Very interesting. Sefer HaChassidim want to learn from Sefer Yonah that if you do three times, and three times it comes on the same person, it's allowed. But one time, it's not allowed. Only three times, and it should come on the same. And he says that's exactly what happened in Yonah.
Even though it's completely random?
Yeah. According to Sefer Chassidim, it's allowed.
Three times in a row, or it could be like you flip the coin five times, first person?
Three times, and it comes the same person. In a row.
In a row.
Yeah.
I still don't understand. Even if you say, oh, it's one, really, since one person is choosing this person, it's really one versus one of this, you know that 60 people are going to die, or one person's going to die.
Yeah, so but that's not allowed.
You
can't choose who will die and who not. All the Judenrat in the camps had this exactly this question. The Germans said, we are going to kill X people, you tell them who it is. It wasn't, all the rabbis told in the Holocaust, the Judenrat, the head of the camp, is not allowed to decide who will die and who not. According to this Yerushalmi. Hala, yichadu lahen echad. What happened if they come and they say, we want someone specific? They don't say choose. They say, we want Mr. X. I'm happy that no one in the class is called Mr. X. We want Mr. X because he did something and we want to kill him. In that case, said the Yerushalmi, you should give him. Imseru oto vehal yargu. But, come Rab Shimon and says, Ama Rab Shimon ben Lakish, ve'u sheyeh chayav mita kesheva ben Bukhri. So according to Rab Shimon ben Lakish, you are allowed to give him only if he's chayav mita. But if he's not chayav mita, you're not allowed. So Rab Shimon ben Lakish understand that the woman that gave Sheva ben Bukhri, it was because he was Mored b'Malchut. But if it's not Mored b'Malchut, you're not allowed. And therefore he says, even to the Goyim, you are not allowed unless he's Chayav Mita. But if he's not Chayav Mita, you're not allowed.
Is Chayav Mita the same as Goseis, or are they different?
No, very different. Chayav Mita means that Beidin gave him a din of Mita.
Like he's going to die. In both cases, he's going to die.
Yeah, but here he has already a status of die, and Goseis doesn't have a status of die. Someone that's Chayav Mita Beidin has already a status of die, therefore it's different. V'Rabbi Yochanan Amar, Afilu eino chayav mita kesheva ben Bukhri. So according to Rabbi Yochanan, you are always allowed to kill minority to say majority. And that's the reason why it was allowed. Not because he was chayav mita, not because he was Rodef b'Malkut. See the third opinion. Amar Rav Yehuda. I'm skipping, please, as bear that Rav Shimon ben Lakish. I'm going to the Braita in the end. Bamed dvarim amurim that you shouldn't give him. Bizman shehum mibefnim vehem mibechutz. Aval bizman shehum mibefnim vehem mibefnim. Ho'il vehu neherag vehen neragim. Yitnu lahem al yahargu otam. וכן הוא אומר ותבוא האישה אל כל העם בחוכמתה אמרה להם הואיל והוא נהרג ואתם נהרגים תנו לכם ואל תהרגו כולכם. So Rabbi Yehuda understand like my third explanation that the reason why it was allowed is because he will die anyway. So according to Rabbi Shimon ben Lakish the reason is because it's chayav mita. According to Rabbi Yehuda the reason is because he will die anyway. And according to Rabbi Yochanan, the reason is because you can kill minority to save majority.
Are you passing from the Yerushalmi?
If the Bavli is not contradicting, doesn't say the opposite, the answer is yes. If the Bavli contradicts Yerushalmi, then the answer is no. Because this case of minority and majority is not being discussed in the Bavli, we are posek according to the Yerushalmi. So we have free understanding why it was allowed to kill Sheva ben Bukhri. The Shulchan Aruch is posted like Rabbi Yochanan. Therefore, according to the Mechaber, according to the Beit Yosef, you always are allowed to kill minority to save majority. Not the Shulchan Aruch. The Ari Shonim that explained like Rabbi Yochanan, I apologize, not Shulchan Aruch. The Rambam is posek that you're not allowed to kill minority to save majority. And he says Sheva ben Bukhri was different. And the Mechaber posek like the Rambam. And the Mechaber posek, you are not allowed usually to kill minority to say majority. And the question is why? Why shouldn't you kill one to save 60? So some we shown him posek like Rabbi Yochanan, but the Shulchan Aruch is posek that you're not allowed. And we don't have time, at 7 I have to finish, but I'll go into 2 minutes more, why the Rambam and the Shulchan Aruch are posek that you shouldn't kill minority to say majority. Rav Kook says, you are posek like Rabbi Yehuda. Meaning to say, people are not tomatoes. I'm explaining the logic why the Rambam is posek, like not like Rabbi Yochanan. People are not tomatoes. And it may be that there is one tzaddik more than 60 people. So when you ask yourself who is better, number can't count. That's the reason why even if you have minority versus majority, you won't choose the minority. Because maybe the minority is better than the majority. But if the minority will be dead anyway, and the question is only minority, or minority plus, then no question that it's better that minority would die. Therefore, according to Rav Kook, in the case of the baby, in the case of the Twin Towers, it will be allowed to kill, because they are going to be killed anyway. But in the case of Tzor in Lebanon, it won't be allowed. So according to Rabbi Yochanan, all the cases will be allowed. According to Rav Kook, the case of Lebanon won't be allowed, because there the minority won't be dead anyway. They will live till 120. But in the case of the baby, in the case of the people in the Twin Towers, they're going to die anyway. Therefore, according to Rav Kook, because he's posed like Rav Yehuda, it will be allowed. Are you with me? Is it clear what I'm saying? I'm sorry, I don't have time now for questions because you have to dance and to go up in 2 minutes, so I apologize. Ask me later on. The case of Mishnah says there is a special halacha lemoshe Misinai, according to Rish Lakish, that you never, killing is something so dangerous that unless you are Rodef, the Torah never allows you. Therefore, according to the case of Mishneh, it will never be allowed. Okay, so if we are making a chart. Here we have the case of Tzor. Here we have the Twin Towers. Okay, Binyan HaTaumim. Here we have the Bunker of Kovna, Sobibor. This is Rav Kook. So in the case of Tzor, the minority will live, therefore it's not allowed. In Binyan HaTaumim, the minority will die anyway, it is allowed. In the Bunker, the baby will die anyway, it will be allowed. Sobibor is unfixed minority, not allowed. Is that clear to everyone?
Even though they'll die anyway.
What?
Even if they'll die anyway.
What, in Sobibor they won't die anyway?
Yeah, they'll kill them all.
What?
They'll kill them all if they don't.
No, they will kill four out. They will choose four, but it doesn't mean that this man, they will choose him. Kesef Mishneh, Halacha Lemoshe Misinai. Unless you are Rodef, never allowed. Because in all these four cases, there is no Rodef, therefore, acts completely. Last opinion, Rav Shlomo Iger, the brother of Rabbi Akiva. Rav Shlomo Iger says, and I won't have time now to go to his proofs and his shita, he says, only hanging someone to someone else is not allowed. That's Chilul Hashem. You're hanging someone to someone else, you're hanging someone to the goyim, because you want to save people, that's not allowed. But every time when it's not hanging someone to the goyim, it's not Chilul Hashem, you are doing it as act of survival, it will be allowed. Therefore, according to him, except the case of Sobibor, because it's unfixed minority, all the other three cases will be allowed. Because in all the other three cases, you don't hang someone to someone. And because you don't hang someone to someone, therefore, it will be allowed. So we have three opinions. Rav Kook, Posikak Rav Yuda. If you will die anyway, it's allowed. If not, you have the svara of Mai Chazit. According to the case of Mishnah, even if you don't have the svara of Mai Chazit, but there is halacha lemoshe misina, that it's never allowed. And according to Rav Shlomo Iger, it's only, Rish Lakish is Posik that, only because of Chilul Hashem. But any time when it's not Chilul Hashem, it will be allowed. There is a lot more to discuss, but we have to finish. Big Yishol Koach. We covered three topics, or two topics, very, very special. Land for Peace and giving organs. And we started.